under long enough to get more rest. There's not much else that could work.
But sometimes desperate measures could be the most effective, for after a couple more hours of deeper rest, Doc suddenly opened his eyes.
I feel as if I've been asleep for 1,000 years, and have awakened to the strangest feeling that I have said that before, or something akin to it, and quite recently.
He raised himself on one elbow.
Now, would it be possible for someone to tell me what on earth is going on, and how we got to be here? For I have to confess that I have not the slightest idea.
The relief Ryan felt at Doc's recovery was shown by the smile that flickered at the corners of his mouth.
We can fill you in part of the way, Doc, but for some of it we'll just have to wait and see.
Until when?
Ryan looked out of the shelter and at the darkening sky as twilight closed in on the old wagstop.
Not long, Doc. Not long at all.
The workers continued to labor until the light was almost gone, and the temperature had dropped from the blistering heat of the day to the bone-numbing cold of night. Petey had come into the shelter, cradling his H&K, and lit a number of oil lamps that were suspended from the poles that also held up the protective sheeting.
How long do you usually work?
Petey shrugged, keeping a wary eye on the group, but showing no great hostility.
Depends on the light, but it's more or less around this time. We get about 14 hours of work a day.
That's pretty intensive.
Huh?
The sec man paused, staring at the boy.
I mean, it's a lot of time and doesn't give you much chance to rest.
Petey shrugged again.
Sooner we get done, sooner we get paid, and the more jack we get. Baron Silas is generous if you play straight and work hard. Mean-eyed fucker if you don't.
Baron Silas who?
The sec man's mouth made a wry grin.
You don't catch me out that easily. Crow will let you know all you need when he comes in, and that won't be too long, so you just be patient.
The sec man's assumption turned out to be correct. It was less than half an hour before Crow led the workforce into the shelter.
Glad to see you're all awake and well. I'd guess that the enforced rest may even have done you some good after your long journey. Bronson, you, Reich, and Hal are on sec duty tonight.
The three men took food and water from the supplies for the sec men who were now on guard duty, taking them their meal before settling to their own. While they did this, the remaining workers took their own meal, discussing with one another the day's work and their individual performances. The companions, listening to them, all noted that the main topic of conversation was getting the work done and collecting the large bonus for a quick finish. The men were graphic about the manner in which they would spend the bonus in a gaudy house, casting glances at Christy and Mildred as they did so. The two women were the last people to be worried and shocked by such talk, which was obviously the intention, and Ryan noted that Crow was watching their reaction. The foreman did nothing to halt the talk, although he was silent and impassive as he took his meal. The one-eyed warrior guessed that the foreman wasn't saying anything because he wanted to test both the resiliency of the women and the ability of their male companions to keep their peace. A swift glance at his team showed Ryan that they wouldn't be found wanting. The tone of the conversation continued when Hal, Reich, and Bronson returned from their task and also began to eat. It continued until Crow had finished his repast, at which point he decided that enough was enough. His voice, quiet and deep, cut through the talk and silenced the others, despite its lack of volume.
I hope that you have also partaken of our food and water.
Ryan nodded.
We appreciate you sharing your supplies with us, and I can appreciate why you did what you did. I figured that maybe I can trust you people not to chill us. Otherwise, you would have done it already. What I'm wondering now is what you want from us, and who you are and where you come from. Oh, yeah. And why you're working out here in the middle of nowhere on an old wag stop.
Sure there's nothing.
Hence, Crow shrugged.
Where you go after we finish is up to you. What do you say?
Ryan considered the options. The desert offered nothing but chilling. They couldn't get their weapons back from the workers by force, as they were unarmed and outnumbered, and just maybe there would be something of use to them in salvation. Baron Silas Hunter sounded as though he could be interesting.
Tell you what. You take us to salvation when we finish this job and give us back our weapons, and we'll gladly work our way. Hard work is no problem, but that desert is a bastard.
Crow smiled and nodded.
I figured you'd see it that way.
The work party rose with the sun, and at first light the next morning, they began to stir under the covers that protected them from both the sun and the chilling night. Crow was one of the first to awake, as though snapped awake by the first glimmerings of the day. The giant rose to his feet and looked at the sprawled figures around, huddled under blankets or coats. He observed that Christy and Ryan were sleeping close together, and likewise J.B. and Mildred. He then glanced over his still-slumbering workers and remembered the comments of the night before. Although it didn't show on his impassive visage, he figured that he would have to watch closely for any trouble, as it was almost certain to arise. The foreman began to stir his workforce awake, and after he was sure they were rising for the day's work, he turned to the companions.
"I see you're already awake."
"My dear sir, although you were as silent as a spirit walking, the combined noise of any amount of people within such an enclosed space would make further slumber an impossibility."
"Don't mind Doc. He never likes to use one word when he can use 100 to say the same thing."
The Native American allowed himself the flicker of a smile.
"Shows a good brain. I just hope he can work as well as he can talk."
"Despite my apparent age, I shall not be found wanting."
"Okay, eat, take some water, and join the others outside. You have 20 minutes.
Playing it the way it felt, the companions allowed the workmen to wash themselves down first and freshen up before taking their morning meal. It meant hanging around and taking the stares directed at the women, but in their current position it was best to play possum.
"Hey, Anderson, you think those gaudies gonna show some skin when they work?"
Anderson, whose dark hair was tied back in a ponytail and whose beard was flecked with gray, studied Mildred and Christy through hooded eyes.
"Well, I hope so. Them being two colors will make it look real nice."
He directed his next comment to the men in Ryan's party.
"Hey, I bet you boys have some fun there."
Jack's red eyes pierced through the heavily set workman.
"More fun and chilling scum."
The albino teenager was nearly a full foot smaller than the workman, was unarmed, and was slight in build compared to the burly Anderson. But still, there was something cold and diamond-hard about the youth that made the workman look away without saying anything further. An uneasy silence hung over the room after the workforce had finished and walked out into the sunlight, leaving the companions alone.
"This isn't going to be easy. Not easy at all."
With the roof now securely in place, along with the newly finished two-story blockhouse, the remaining task was to build the extension onto the existing structure. The new wagstop would then have storage space for fuel, food, and water, as well as accommodation for a regular attendant and a few travelers.